It's Tuesday, 8th of May, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cal. Cal.
Good evening.
Kayla.
Hello.
Nikki.
Kept you waiting.
And Catty.
Hello.
Right, we've got a number of things to talk about. Hopefully a main topic that we'll get to, if we can rush through this news. But before we get to that, what's everyone been up to this past week? Start with Cal.
Not a lot, really, to be fair. Working. Although I have been getting myself into Destiny 2. I did do a live stream. Well, I eventually got it working. It took me freaking ages. A bunch of nuisances when it comes to streaming. You have to capture it, as opposed to just like any other game. I quite enjoyed it. I'm kind of getting back into it. Oddly enough, last time I was on, Nikki was Destiny because of the expansion coming out, and I did contemplate, is it worth going back? It worth, because I know there's loads of bitching towards it at the moment. I thought, you know what? I haven't finished the campaign. I got it for free. And it's as you were saying, I see £1 on Humble Bundle. So if you're going to get it for the campaign, it's not half bad. Plus, I like the PvP. Don't get me wrong, it was pretty fun. Chilling. Enjoying the summer. Drinking. And then. It's so. I'm bitching about it. And then enjoying it.
Okay, so busy.
Yeah, busy.
Kayla, what have you been up to?
Actually, I've been super busy. Nothing for Game Grim, unfortunately. I've been working on another project all last week, so I'm pretty exhausted now. I was doing 16 hours a day on this thing. It's finally finished, and I can now back to it. Back to Game Grim and all of you lovely people, and back to the podcast, so I'm very excited to be here. And tonight I plan to do nothing but play Destiny with Nikki, which would be great fun.
Okay.
You can't just nod. You need to say something.
Duh.
Nodding doesn't help in an audio medium.
I had a mouthful of fish, alright?
We're two people down and two people playing Destiny. Are we going to go for a third? Nikki? Yes, we are.
Well, I mean, what have I been up to this week? Well, I'm playing Destiny right now if we weren't recording this damn podcast. No, needs to install anyway. But I'll be playing a lot of Destiny because Destiny 2, the expansion Warmind, is out as of about an hour and 50 minutes ago. However,
I
in the past...
have none of the expansion pass.
I'm about to go. But in the last week, I've... what have I been playing? I jumped back into Splatoon 2 for a little bit because I'm forever missing the Splatfests. There was a new big content update for that, so trying out some of the new maps when they're on rotation. I have a pro controller now, and I just turned it on. Whoops. Oh my god, playing games on the Switch with actual analog sticks is amazing. Like, you know, big hands, Switch, it's all well and good, but the Joy-Con thumb sticks, they're a bit naff. So having a pro controller, nice analog sticks, good aiming, really, really does help. And beyond that, just bits and pieces. I've been fairly busy, so just jumping into what little games I can. Finished Wildlands, Ghost Recon Wildlands whilst I was ill, and did everything, like all the cartel members. I'm now not too sure what to do, even though I want to keep playing. But yeah, Destiny 2, so that's where I'll be for the next 7 months.
Because that's how long they're releasing expansion packs for?
I guess they're going to reveal the next expansion at E3, which, as we know historically with Destiny, will come in September, roughly. And that'll be a big update, sort of Rise of Iron or Taken King style. Most likely, we'll probably get another season pass with another two expansions. It's confusing because the yearly release, excuse me, is an expansion. But they refer to the two DLCs as expansion. But yeah, essentially, two DLCs, expansion, and I imagine that will continue for the next year, possibly onwards. But we'll see.
Well, if Destiny 2 is any indication, it takes 2 years to make a Destiny title. 1 year of that you fill with DLC.
Are you aware of the development cycle?
I'm aware that their credits say for Destiny 2 says the Bungie team for 2015 to 2017 was
etc. See. Okay, so very quick introduction before we move on. Sorry, Cathy. The Destiny 1, about a year before release, had a complete redesign and reshuffle, which is why it was a bit of a shambles. We found out shortly after Destiny 2 came out, surprise, surprise, the same thing happened with Destiny 2. I believe it was 14 months before it released. They basically got rid of the guy in charge, got someone else in, and said, fix it. And so the entire game was reworked, which is why things, some elements are slightly disjointed, and why they're still trying to correct things. Which, you know, after 4 years, three or four years of Destiny, it's kind of getting to a point where we kind of have to look at Bungie and be like, guys, are you all right?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a great studio.
We need to look at Bungie and go, you know, you don't have to release this like now, right? Like, you're owned by a company that make all the money in the world, and you yourself make all the money in the world. You don't need to just wait. Just finish the game you're working on, and then release it. That's how everyone else tries to do it.
But Katty, I need it now. You don't understand. I need to get that grind. I need that high level gear. I need that end game. That's an accurate representation of the Destiny Reddit.
I can only assume you are on that Reddit.
I read Reddit, I don't post. I'll shut up now.
Cathy, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been playing Destiny. No, I have been playing Lake Ridden. I'm writing the review now. It's almost done. I can't talk about it until the 10th, which is 2 days from now, so that's all you get to know. I've been playing Paladins, because that came out today, I think, officially. Was release date? I think it's even in the news we're talking about.
Yes, today.
That game is. I played it in the closed beta or the first beta that they did, and hadn't touched it since. And that game is completely different. Like, it doesn't even visually. I don't remember any of the things that are in the game now looking like they did. That makes sense. Like, everything is different, and that game is much better for it. I really like where they've gone with it. It feels very distinctly different from the other hero shooters that I've played. So there's a few niggles and things, but I think it might just be I'm a new player going into a game, a very big game, so I just need to sort of work out how things work. But that's been fun. I'm also still playing the Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, the mobile
game.
Oh god.
Well, I want to finish.
Playing or waiting?
Well, waiting, because I want to finish the first year and then I'll write my review. That's what I said, and I thought, okay, it won't take me more than like 2 weeks. I'm now in my third week of playing this game, and I have not finished. I've not even. I'm like, I don't know if there's a way of me checking. I'm level 8. I don't know what that means. I've unlocked a load of haircuts. I am not even close to finishing the first year. So, that's a thing. It's taking so long, and I play it every day.
Cracky.
Paladin's question. Have you tried the Battle Royale mode?
There's a Battle Royale mode?
Oh. You betcha.
Every game has a Battle Royale mode now.
Stop I've giving away your news topics, guys.
I've played the deathmatch version, which isn't. I don't think is actually very good because I like playing tanks and supports, and the deathmatch version just doesn't care about those two things.
Well, it's called Paladin's Battlegrounds, and it is. Yeah.
Is it a separate game? Because I've not seen it in the client. I feel that's a thing I'd have seen in the client.
I think it's currently in beta, but I was just curious if potentially you'd maybe gotten into the beta, but you clearly haven't, so never mind.
You're saying he's not good enough? He's good enough. He could get into the beta if you wanted to.
I probably could, to be honest. If I asked someone, but...
Do you know what? I used to work with someone who got into every single Blizzard beta, but he would never play any of them. But they still kept adding him to every single beta for every Blizzard product. And it's like, how?
There's lists. I got on one of the lists for MOBA beta testing back in like 2010 when everyone was releasing MOBAs. And I got emails about ones I'd never heard of inviting me to the beta because I was just on their list.
I need to get on some of these lists. I was like... at least amongst the first people to fill out the form to apply for the Crew 2 beta. And that came and went, I think. And I never heard hide nor hair of it.
I got into the Defiance 2050 closed beta recently.
I got into the For Honor beta, which everyone seemed to get into, but...
Yeah, I got into that. I played one match. No, not even one match. And I installed it.
I played a few matches and then told them their game was shit, and I've not heard anything about any other beta, Ubisoft betas I've applied to, so I think I've been blacklisted.
We only want people who enjoy our games playing our games.
Mind you, you and me, Kayla, had a fantastic time in the Frona beta, which consisted of you being able to get into a game and me just getting, your PS4 has crashed. Your PS4 has crashed. Guess what? Your PS4 fucking crashed.
I was having a great time.
Because I'm just idling.
Oh, I got into the Mirror's Edge beta, the Catalyst one, but that wouldn't run on my PC. So they got another code from a PS4 and that wouldn't run either. I think it ran at like 12 FPS, and apparently that was just a common bug on the PS4. So, crikey. I didn't buy that game.
Before we move on with the rest...
Nor did anyone else.
I played on Origin Access, but anyway, before we actually get a start with the podcast, we should do an episode just about betas. I think that'd be really good.
Yeah, we can make it the main topic next week. Maybe.
By betas, do you mean actual betas, like software betas, or demos?
Anything not really. We'll discuss this after the meeting.
Meeting? Wait, where's Cal?
Podcast? Did you not notice him leave?
His internet dropped out like 5 minutes ago. And he's just rejoined.
Sorry. Don't tell him I didn't notice. I've got Discord on Do Not Disturb because our editor-in-chief keeps messaging me. Right, games I've been playing. I've been back on Lightslinger Heroes, the puzzle RPG. Match 3 to cause damage to your enemies. Still playing that several times a day when my energy refills.
Sorry about that. My internet decided to kill me. Well, yes, not me, literally.
We all noticed.
If it kills you, then who's just
yes,
joined us?
All of us.
Every oh, this is a PC. One. No, my internet decided. Fucking Virgin Media. Sorry. What were you on about? We heard something about energy refilling. Was that Hogwarts?
Nothing about you. Nothing about you.
No, Catty's finished about Hogwarts, so I've been talking about Lightslinger Heroes, the Android game that I've been playing for the past couple of weeks.
Ooh.
It's a match 3 bubble popping game. I like match 3 games, they're relaxing. I've also been playing Aquaman Battle for Atlantis, the GameCube's... only Aquaman title.
Are there many Aquaman titles?
Isn't that one really bad?
The only ever Aquaman title, and because of this game, no one's eager to make another one. The open world level style levels are massive and well realized, but they're very empty and there's nothing to do in them. You just swim from one group of enemies to the next. Sometimes they're behind a building and you have to swim over or around it.
Ooh. He's missing a hand in the screenshots.
Yes, it's based on the Peter David written comics of the time, where a villain called Piranha mentally controlled some piranhas to eat his hand. Aquaman's hand. And he replaced it with that hook. He would eventually shave and get a hand made out of hard water and then died 18 months later. But he's back now, because comics.
So I just did a search on the Aquaman in other media Wikipedia page. Aquaman appeared in Justice League Task Force for the SNES and Sega Mega Drive, as well as in Aquaman Battle for Atlantis for Xbox and GameCube. Battle for Atlantis is often cited as among the worst video games ever made.
It works, and it looks good, and the open style levels are very good, but it's just not fun. So that'll be at the bottom of my list of DC GameCube games. And the other game I've been playing is Destiny 2.
How are you finding
amongst
that?
Us.
One of us. One of us.
I played it for half an hour and I'll get around to it eventually. It's just not something I'm going to rush back to. I had enemies just appearing in front of me. Like pop in, like I'm driving in Far Cry and ooh, there's some trees. I'm running in Destiny 2, ooh, there's some enemies. And
I mean,
yeah, that was a thing in Destiny 1, because they had the sort of the hub world things where you just sort of had anyone could go in and shoot. You took out some guys and then used where they were for cover for the next lot of guys, but what if you took too long, the original guys would just respawn and just pop back into existence on top of you.
I was the only person on the level for most of it, and it's the opening sequence. Surely that should show off your game, not show off your pop-in enemies.
You do realise that in the opening scene they're like airdropping in, right?
Yeah, and when they crashed in on those giant ball things, that was great. But when they just appeared out of thin air, not so great.
Can't say I ever saw that happen.
No,
and I had two disappear behind a post. like a Looney Tunes.
Okay, that has happened.
I've seen enemies appear like they would move from one, like they would appear one, I'm aiming at them and then they'll shift across all of a sudden to like the left or the right. I have seen a little bit of popping, but nothing like standing out.
Well, yeah.
It's like an MMO.
Sure, are you sure you're not just blinking?
Yeah. I'm sure. You can read my So I Tried when it gets published to the site, but yeah, it's not exactly glowing. It looks pretty for the most part, but everyone raves about the gunplay. That doesn't feel any different to picking the only FPS I've played recently, Far Cry 5, out of thin air. Doesn't feel any different to that.
Haven't you literally been playing the Metro series?
Oh, yeah.
That's a first-person game?
The gunplay is not the Metro series got the strong suit.
True.
I think the thing with Destiny is the varied enemies and how they've all got their weak points that you've got to aim for. I think that's what really kind of sets it apart.
Well, so far the weak point's been the head and behind the head.
Yeah,
have you found Chloe bits change to shoot yet?
No.
Because that was a problem I had with the first Destiny. It was like, oh, they've all got different weak points. I'm like, no, they've got the same weak point. It's just their heads are in different places because they're shaped slightly differently.
Yeah, there's pretty much the same amount. It's just been aimed for the head.
You've got the ones with the rifles that you shoot in the head, and you've got the ones who shoot fire that you shoot in the fire pack behind their head.
C- Can we talk about the most practical of them all, the Cabal shield carriers, whose weak point on their shield is directly in the middle of their shield?
Oh.
Yeah,
I didn't know that, to be honest with you.
If you shoot that, it will break the shield, and then you can just shoot them in the head.
We found this out after like 10 hours.
It's not made a great impression.
It's a fun game. I like it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm not going to be buying the expansion pass. I'm glad I only paid £9 for it, and I'm hoping that there's something good in the other six games totaling over $100 that is in the Humble Monthly.
I'm just going to look at my collector's edition of Destiny, well, limited edition of Destiny 2, and stroke it softly.
Do you want me to leave, or...?
No, it's okay.
Enough about Destiny, Destiny 2, and it's... we'll talk about Nintendo, as they've unveiled their Switch Online service. It is called Nintendo Switch Online.
Gasp!
God, Nintendo, they need to learn that MMOs just aren't a run these days.
You can buy for either an individual account or for a family account, allowing up to 8 Nintendo accounts. 1 month is $3.49, 3 months is $6.99, 12 months is $17.99, or a 12-month family membership is $31.49.
See?
Which puts it a bit cheaper than Xbox Gold and a lot cheaper than PlayStation Plus.
See, now I've actually read it, and it says 8 Nintendo accounts. That makes more sense, because when I saw the news earlier, I thought it was 8 Nintendo Switches, and I was thinking, what household has 8 Nintendo Switches?
Yours doesn't?
Ah, crap.
From what I remember of the FAQ, and I will check that after I've said this, so I could be eating my words in a minute, but I think you can have... So you basically link the Nintendo accounts together, and then you buy the family membership for that group, so you could have as many Nintendo Switches as you wanted on there. It's just those 8 accounts that are attached to it.
Right, the list of benefits are online play, you get the data cloud, you can back up your console's save data. Dedicated app for smartphone or tablet, so you can enhance your online experience, i.e. talk to people. Exclusive offers for members, and Nintendo Entertainment System Nintendo Switch Online, which is a growing library of classic NES games, which you can play anytime, anywhere, with added online features.
See, I think that just makes it worthwhile right there.
I mean, yeah. Especially when you consider the launch lineup includes the original Legend of Zelda, the original Mario Bros, the original Super Mario Bros, and Super Mario Bros 3, and Donkey Kong, and Dr. Mario. That just there, that's worth £8 a month, whatever it is.
There's going to be 20 games available at launch, with more titles added regularly.
So why are people pissed off with this? This sounds quite good to me.
It's £1 per game, plus you get online functionality.
People and are... That... Sorry, Kat.
Go on, Nikki. I was going to say that online functionality, the way they've sort of said that that's working, so in Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, and Super Mario Brothers 3, I don't think it was in the original, you can just go online with someone and they'll play Luigi, for example, or I think in The Legend of Zelda, the way they've done it is if you can't beat someone, you can get someone else to play that part of the game, so you can like hand over the controller to them, but they can be
right,
in a completely different part of the world to you.
Like on PlayStation 4 and fairly recently, I believe, on Xbox Gold.
But yeah, the main reason people are getting arsey, although just to point out, even before the Nintendo Switch came out, they did advertise that, you know, we were only going to get a free trial of the online services and online play for a while. People are pissy because now they've got to pay to play their games online. And it's not just the SNES games, it's every game. So Splatoon, Mario Kart, any game that you take online, I believe it is also third-party games, you will need to have the Nintendo Switch online. But again, when you compare it to, say, PlayStation Plus, which the price has gone up recently, you know, at surface value, play games online, okay, they both do that. Get some free games, okay, they both do that. Both do cloud server, you know, cloud backup. Okay, yeah, people are also annoyed because there is no onboard voice chat for the Nintendo Switch. You have to use the app. So you've got to have your phone with you or a tablet to do the voice chat because all the lobbies and such are offloaded onto the app.
Right.
But we're looking at £18 a year versus however many, like, what, 40, 50, maybe, you know, maybe even 60 a year for PlayStation Plus. I don't know how much Xbox Gold is, but £17 a year versus that to play online, have free games, cloud saves, deals, lobbies. Yeah. Like, I don't see... We knew it was coming. I don't see what the problem is.
No, me neither.
I'm trying to work it out as well.
I will say that at least with PlayStation and Xbox, you get recent games, not 40-year-old games.
I do admit that, and I do agree with people that maybe they should have been more upfront about this before the Switch came out. They should have, rather than just dumping all of all the information as they've done recently, they should have maybe sort of slowly fed some of it out to be like, you'll get this, there'll be that. And now here's the price. Even though it's a low price, I think people are a little bit just salty that it's all of a sudden just come out, even though we knew it was coming.
Nintendo don't eke information out slowly. all of the information about the Switch was dumped at March last year or January last year, whatever.
To be fair to Nintendo, in this case, they actually did hint at what the online would be, and it was pretty much exactly what we've gotten here. But I think actually it's slightly better because they said you could rent the NES games. It seems they've gone back on that, and you just seem to have them.
Yes, if you remember, which is
good. So I think the reason they've not talked too much about it is because they did, and nothing's changed really. The only thing that's changed is the sort of incentive, and I think the less they said about that, the better.
I mean,
right.
Sorry, I was going to say one of the rather sucky parts of it though is that, yeah, you have to pay to get your cloud data, your save data into the cloud. What sucks is that there's currently no way to actually get your save data off the Switch. That sucks.
See, I think that's probably a bit of an issue, that you're having to pay for the service to back up your saves.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice if you could, like, connect the device to your PC and, like, you could do that with the original Xbox 360. You could, like, plug it onto your, put it on a memory stick, plug it into your computer, and copy across the data file.
Yeah.
So it would have been good if they let you at least do that, but I've heard that the saves are tied to the console.
Yeah, they're not even on the memory card, because I was looking into this as well, because, you know, even on my PS4, every now and again, I'll just whack in the USB and take all the saves off, but I know that with PlayStation Plus, should the console fail, I've got the most recent save by a day or two in the cloud. So it's a nice thing to have, but it's a bit sucky that that's there. I mean, just looking at like the FAQ and stuff, like they say like you'll need the online service to access online components of like Splatoon, Arms, Mario, leaderboards. Sorry. Access to leaderboards and rankings does not require a paid Nintendo Switch Online membership because you can access those within the app. But
it's a little contradicting as well. Like you're going to have people who aren't always going to have a network connection, and they're going to be wanting to. Well, I suppose this, again, the saves are tied to the handheld. But say, for example, your Switch gets nicked, and you get a new one. And you don't have an internet connection, then you're a bit stuffed, really. Until you get an internet connection to load your saves from the cloud, you're a bit stuffed.
The other thing as well that people are noticing and were pointing out is, and I'm not too sure what the details are on this, but with obviously PlayStation Plus, we know that the money is going Well, we hope the money is going into making the PlayStation servers better. Seriously, Sony, sort that out. But I've seen some conversations of people pointing out, like, it's unclear at the minute if Nintendo games, especially the third party ones, and obviously things like Splatoon, if they actually have dedicated servers or if it is all peer to peer. I mean, obviously one of the benefits of the Switch is that you can all meet up and play. Is that still going to require the online service? Because that's technically LAN. They haven't given details about that. So, on the surface, this is a good service, and I'm okay with it. But, yeah, we could do with some more details, Nintendo.
Right, we'll move on to our next topic. Don't want to stay on Nintendo forever. Battle Right have announced that they're bringing in a Battle Royale mode. As was hinted earlier, Battle Right, if you don't know, is a MOBA, one of many, and their new Battle Royale mode will be coming in the summer, simply named Battle Right Battle Royale. It'll feature a map that's 30 times larger than a standard Battle Right map, and include 20 players, which can play either solo or in two people groups. Apparently they want to give players the excitement of a Diablo-esque exploration experience combined with the character variation of a MOBA and the thrill of a survival game.
Yay, another survival title.
Does this make anyone want to play Battle Right more than they did before?
So nothing that actually goes together and they're just kind of forcing it to work.
It's just like throwing shit against the wall and seeing if it sticks. That's what we've got to now.
Which, to be fair, is what Battle Right already kind of is. I've not played it,
to be fair, so I wouldn't know.
In the MOBA market is, here are games that last no more than 5 minutes. It's 3v3 and a tiny map. There's no creeps, there's no items, there's nothing, sort of any, there's no strategy in it, really.
It's just an arena.
It's just an arena. They kind of removed a lot of the strategy from it and made it more skill-based, which it's a thing, I guess. People like the game. I really don't care for it myself.
Well, they have apparently millions of unique players, so...
I reckon that's because it's free.
Maybe this will bring them even more, because Battle Royale modes... bring all the boys to the yard.
Yeah, I reckon that millions of unique players is because it was free, so that's how many people have just bothered to download it at some point. Maybe played it once and then not played it again.
Sounds like World of Tanks to me. Moving on from one MOBA to another, Paladins is officially launched today. It came out in September 2016 and finally received full release.
Because I thought it was already out.
Yeah, it's been out, but with the subtitle that it's in a beta, so people basically don't complain, it's a beta.
Oh, it's one of those games. It's like War Thunder and World of Tanks. You know, they're full releases, but they're still technically betas.
No, World of Tanks got a 1.0 release recently.
Oh, yes, it did. Yeah, I don't lie. There's only...
I think...
Oh, they're technically War Thunders. 1.89. Never mind. Any game could be early access these fucking days. Look at console games.
I think the big thing they were doing with the... open access, early access thing was just adding in more heroes. They've been at, from what I've seen of the client has a wonderful little news thing, and there just seems to be quite a lot of new heroes added in the last sort of year or so. So I reckon that's, they've now released the last one. There's like 40 odd heroes in that game.
Well, if you played it before yesterday, you will have been gifted 200 crystals for absolutely free.
Oh, goody.
I will not be given in any crystals because I didn't play it.
I will.
I think I did try it. I mean, it was kind of at the time when I was playing a bit of Overwatch. And I thought, oh, this looks interesting. I'll give that a go. And yeah.
No, didn't you know Overwatch stole everything from Paladins?
I know.
Or yeah, Paladins stole everything. Someone stole something.
It's uncanny.
Wasn't that the official Paladins Twitter posted out one of their characters, comparing them to Overwatch's new character, Brigitte?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
And yeah, that was like, true. Oh, that was the last thing I saw.
We stole everything from Overwatch, but they stole this from us. It's like, oh, really, dude? Really?
So edgy. Apparently, they've announced that it's not a finished product. They expect to be patching it plenty, which is that something you really want a developer to say?
I mean, in this genre,
not finished, if all you've done is add characters and done nothing to anything else, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, as I said at the start, this game is drastically different to when I played it back in like September 2016. It is not the same game even remotely. The only thing those two games share in common is that they were both first-person shooters. So it's not that they've just been adding heroes. They have been doing other things. It's just I haven't played it much sit between now and 2016 to tell you exactly how they've changed things.
Can we just get rid of releases?
Well, this is, I think, Paladin's third release, because they had the beta release, and then they had the Steam release, and now they've got the actual Steam release. Or full release.
Well, a game that isn't released yet. Don't Nod's Vampire has had a gameplay trailer released. Has anyone had a look at it?
Yes. That game looks not like Life is Strange. I'm very confused.
It looks like a bad version of Soul Reaver to me. Well, Blood Omen 2, I should say.
I don't know, I thought it looked quite good.
It kind of looks like someone's tried to do a Souls-like, but done it weirdly. Just the combat in general looks quite Souls-like.
Yeah, looking at the style and everything, to me, sort of screamed Bloodborne.
Vampire. I got to see it at Gamescom, and they did a little presentation of it. It's not like Bloodborne. It's not like anything. It is an RPG in the sense, but it's a bit like Vampire Masquerade. I think that's the game of one of mention. Basically, it's very in the sense of like. Your character is a vampire, but he's also like a good guy. He's like, oh, I'm not an evil vampire. He's also quite nice, but you can sort of like, it's story driven in the sense you can talk to people and you communicate and you chat with them, and there's different ways you can handle different objectives. And there's a bit of mystery behind it. So it's the morality of it is your character is a vampire, so he still needs to feed. But you've got to make that moral choice of whether you can go around and feed and eat any person willy-nilly, but some characters that you are working with are potentially very useful, or they could help you in certain situations. I think if I remember right, there was a mission where you found out, you were talking to like this old lady, for example, her house was ransacked, and she said it was her son who did it, or like a friend or something like that she knew did it. So you go out your way, talk to some people, and then you discover who he really was, who he is. And you've got that morality choice where you can stop there and sort of say, he's the one who ransacked the place and like beat this old woman and kill him there and then. Or you can learn more, sort of chat to him and sort of discover that he was set up. And then you sort of go a bit further down the rabbit hole and find more villainous people. And then you choose to feed upon them instead. And your abilities and your skills are sort of based around your how much blood you feed upon. You know, you can use... I can't remember exactly right, but you can... You have to balance it out, so your certain skill points have to be put into certain things like combat, or you can put it into, like, stealth or sneakiness or the way you talk to people, communication and things like that. It's all right. It looks interesting. The combat, though, was a bit naff. The combat looked very much like... Oh, what's that game? It's like a knockoff of like one of them popular ones, like Bloodborne, things like that. It's the guys who made Runic games. I can't remember the bloody code now. The typical lock-on hack and slash type game.
Right, I think someone's googling that now.
I can't remember it now. It's very much like that.
Elex are Piranha Bytes.
It's a bit like that. Yeah, Piranha Bytes. It's a bit like their combat system where you sort of lock onto a target and you can sort of shift back and forth and sort of fight it. The build I watched was very early. It was an alpha build, essentially. And it did look a bit clunky. Whether or not they've improved upon it upon its release, because it has been delayed once or twice now. But yeah, I'd say look out for it. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, I feel like this game is probably going to hinge on either its combat being absolutely awesome or its story being really good. I'm curious about it, even though it's a story that's been done 100 times, and you know, we've had morality twists in games for quite a while now, like RPGs and stuff. But they're kind of my jam, so I'm quite excited to see more.
Quite more so story driven than the combat, because there is moments when I was listening to the developer, he did sort of say you don't have to fight. There's no forcible way, unless it's a certain situation where you're forced to fight. You can avoid conflict, like you went up against a gang, for example. You know, you could either like do something that avoids the combat, like by talking to them, or just outright get into combat with them and just kill them and feed off them. It's up to you, really.
Or run away as a cloud of smoke.
Or run away, like a vampire.
That makes a lot of sense, considering it is Don't Nod, and the game they are famous for is a game about talking to people. Or not.
And time travel.
And time travel, but...
And bacon.
And watering flowers.
And
I was more interested in the Call of Cthulhu game while I was there. That looks good. I like the look of that one. But that feels a bit similar, but in a first person. It's, you know, very similar. You sort of different situations, and you can talk to people, and you can learn stuff, etc. They seem to like that sort of thing, where you can sort of find multiple routes into different things. I suppose it adds a bit of longevity and replayability.
But that hasn't had a new trailer recently. You know what has? Red Dead Redemption 2.
Sorry, what's
tosses
that?
A bit. New Red Dead Redemption 2. Trailer.
Nah, never heard of it.
It's telling us about the story. Basically, it's the Wild West, and you get into fights in bars, you know.
It's disappointing to see that it says Xbox One and PS4, and not PC.
Nah, that's next year, or
that's next gen.
Launch it.
I have a bit of an embarrassing confession with Red Dead Redemption. I really enjoyed it. I played through. I did the final mission, or what I thought was the final mission, which was, I forget now, it was taking care of some dude or something, and then the game just kind of put me back into the open world, and I thought I was done, and at the time I was kind of pushing to get the game finished because I was busy doing whatever. So I actually completely missed the end of Red Dead Redemption, and I had no idea what happened until about a year afterwards, and I was kind of blown away by that discovering that ending.
The ending is so amazing. It's such a surprise.
Spoilers.
As well. I'm not going to say it. And for those who know, because it's come to that time now where people will be going out to play it for maybe the first time or replaying it. Plus the fact,
like people on this podcast.
Exactly. That's why I'm not going to say the ending. But I was saying, more recently as well, the Xbox One X version. Well, I'd say the Xbox One X version, the backwards compatible version, runs at 4K, and it's like maybe go, I really want a PC version. I don't want to buy an Xbox One X just to play it in 4K.
So you know what is coming to PC in 2 days' time? Wild West Online.
I've looked into this, and I still think it's going to be well dodgy because of the history behind it.
Well dodgy, I like that.
Yeah, it is, because, well, I was well intrigued by it. When I first saw it last year, I was like, ooh, this looks quite interesting, quite good. And then you learn about the history. So the game engine that it uses is the same one that was used in War Z, or whatever they called it, Miscreated, or whatever they bloody called it. They've renamed it twice now because of a lawsuit. But the guy who's like the publisher or the guy behind that game, I can't remember his name, but he says some proper dodgy dealings in the sense of like taking people's money, just producing a half-baked shitty game on a crap engine, and it just kind of like tainted the whole thing, really. So when the World Wild West Online was revealed and it turns out that it was using the same game engine, everyone was like, oh, here we go. This could be something really shitty. And the developers have had to make a statement saying that he's not involved and they just bought the rights to the engine. But it seems still a bit... Why, out of all the game engines you could use, perhaps even free engines like Unreal or Hero Engine for MMOs, why that one in particular? So
it's important at this point to note that Unreal and Unity are not free if you're going to be making a game of this size.
Oh, I know that. I realize that.
To do the things they would need to do, they need to actually pay quite a lot of money. Bearing in mind this game is probably not going to make a lot of money, I can understand them going for a cheap ass engine.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I like to think that they bought the engine off them because obviously it was tainted and they thought, well, we can actually do something with this pretty good. We'll buy the whole engine off them and take the source code and just do our own shit with it. But I've read some of the forums, and some of the forums have been sort of, a lot of them are saying, yeah, it's really good. It's really enjoyable. There's other people saying there's not a lot of content. There's not a lot to do. And also I looked and saw that if you bought it from their website, which I believe is $29.99, you could play it now, which is before the official Steam release in a couple of days. And
yeah, it's not the full version at the moment.
No, it's the alpha build, yeah.
Yeah, with the cosmetic store is not available. However, the microtransaction store where you get your gold bars or silver bars, whatever they are, is open.
Fantastic.
Including... This is why I brought it up during your stream the other day, the $99.99.
Oh, okay, yeah, there's always one other.
Is available.
What? God. We were saying that, would on the stream there. Not even Activision with that money grabbing with their M-grams.
And that's fascinating for me because I've just gone on to their official site to see how much this game will cost. And the one that they are promoting, which obviously the collector's edition, is £90.
Oh yeah, and yeah. There's different editions.
Yeah, even the base edition is £30, but you still get stuff with that. I'm not really if storage space slots. I don't know what that means, and the tooltip says fucking bollocks. So yeah, this game seems very expensive.
Wait, so from the looks of this and what you were saying, you have to buy a better version of the game to have a bigger vault space.
Yeah.
I'd imagine there'll be in-game purchasing options to increase your storage space so you don't have to. But yeah, it's £90. Okay. £90 for a Steam key upon release, an in-game account badge, Trailblazer.
You will be able to add more slots by playing game without spending real money. It actually says playing game. Not playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
Playing game.
Bless them. They're probably based in Poland or something.
Right, well, we're going to be able to blast this game next week because that'll be after its release in a couple of days. So let's move on to our last news story, which ties into our main topic. According to a interview with the Xbox official magazine, the director...
The director
of Rise of the Tomb Raider has said that there will not be dual-wielding pistols because the bow and arrow is still Lara Croft's signature weapon. Last week, I may have said that the pickaxes are her signature weapon. I appear to be wrong.
How very dare you.
Yeah, apparently, this is the quote, "No, I don't want that. For us, this is her defining moment. We're not going to put her in shorts with double pistols wearing a bikini. That's not what this is."
But why not?
I don't recall which of the earlier games put her in a bikini. I want to play that one. The quote goes on, "It's because the twin pistols have an iconic feeling about them. For this trilogy, not saying anything about later on, I don't know about the future titles, but for this trilogy, the bow is still her signature weapon."
But yeah, as you said, the pickaxe is much more iconic than the bow to me.
However, the bow is iconic for her and about 50 other game characters. You even get one in Far Cry 5.
Maybe it's just the trend right now.
It was the trend a few years ago.
It's been the trend since the first Tomb Raider, which was, what, 2013?
Even Crysis 3 threw in a bow.
Oh, yeah.
Far Cry 3, 4, and 5 have all had a bow and arrow.
The thing is, like, you know, I get it. It's a different trilogy, it's an origin story, different defining moments, yada yada. But as much as I love the Tomb Raider games, I still kind of find it a bit hilarious that, you know, it's, you know, I'm Lara Croft, I'm going to do things, oh god, this is horrible, and what's going on, to then suddenly being like, I am literally the Grim Reaper, I walk like a shadow, and everyone dies. Also gold.
Well, I figured our main topic could tie into this. Just because something in a franchise is iconic, should it be included in future releases?
I mean, obviously not, because look at Watch Dogs 2. Everything that was in Watch Dogs 1 that was iconic, they dropped that, and Watch Dogs 2 is a better game for it.
But then you got Metal Gear Solid's box, amongst other things.
Yeah, but the box is amazing.
It is very dependent on what it is, you know. Like, we wouldn't see Mario without his hat, for example.
Odyssey is about?
Yeah, but he's still got a hat, hasn't he? So it's like...
A hat.
Yeah, but how many games was that, let's be honest? But, like, it's another thing as well, because I just jump back to Metal Gear. Like, Metal Gear, I mean, it's a self-parodying, fourth wall-breaking experience anyway, but, you know, in the first game, the bandana gives you infinite ammo. That becomes a recurring thing that they actually call out in later games. But that's because Hideo is a madman. But, like, the thing is, like, with Lara Croft and this instance of the dual pistols, I feel weird saying this, but does the current generation even remember her with dual pistols? I mean, I do. But, you know, like, the kids these days, do they know... Do they remember the LucasAid adverts where she had a really pointy breasts and low poly face and was like, LucasAid, and you're like, yeah, that's what I want, tools and combat boots, shooting wolves in the face.
I've got to go watch that LucasAid advert now.
I think it's just a double bluff. Like, I can't find it, but I'm pretty sure I read that when the images for the new God of War, I was about to call it God of Boy, that was really going to be quite embarrassing. New God of War, they said that he wasn't going to have I've forgotten the name of the weapons. It's probably why I couldn't find them. The chain dagger sword things. They said that wasn't going to be in the game, and you get that like a few hours in.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for like 5 hours into a 10-hour game.
You mean more like but, 10 hours into a 30-hour game, right?
I have no idea.
It's a long game. It's our housemate spent a good 2.5 days straight playing it. It's a long game.
But yeah, like I think this potentially this could be because I think that this is the end of what they're calling like the prequel trilogy, isn't it? The idea is at the end of this game, Lara will be in the same sort of position she was in the first Tomb Raider game way back when.
No, guys.
So I suspect this game is going to end with her picking up dual pistols.
Yes, she's going. The game's going to end with her grabbing dual pistols and then saying she's going to do the name drop. She's going to do the thing, and they're going to say the name of the game, and everyone's going to go crazy. And it's going to be like, "I am now the Tomb Raider." Everyone's going to be like, "Oh!"
Yeah, she's going to pick up the dual pistols. She's going to put on her rose-tinted specs because she literally had some of those, her bikini that the director was on about.
I mean, her boobs are going to come off the square as well. But
yeah, this is probably just the director's vision of Lara at the moment, like the whole prequel kind of series. And yeah, like it says, like for this trilogy, it's not what they want to do with Lara. So yeah, I probably expect to see it in the upcoming games.
Can I just point out that it's quite a nice bikini? And apparently it's Tomb Raider Legend, apparently. I might be wrong.
I know she wore a swimsuit a diving suit in a couple of them.
I'm going to say, it's very dangerous Googling this.
Oh no, here we go. Camo bikini. Camo bikini is one of the exclusive outfits of the Xbox 360 version of Tomb Raider Underworld. It was released alongside the downloadable content Beneath the Ashes. This outfit is also available to use in the treasure hunt mode. Blue bikini, black and white bikini, gold bikini. I don't know why, but the concept of a camouflage bikini just tickles me.
Then she can hide in the jungle, come on.
Ah, yes. Mind you, it's always great fun in Metal Gear running around topless with a crocodile head on.
That was the best.
So should that crocodile head come back in Metal Gear?
Is that iconic?
Definitely.
It was yeah, it was DLC. Because fuck Konami.
Take a page from Ubisoft and make it iconic, like everything.
And it only costs 200 in-game crystals.
I think to go back to the discussion topic. Having things in games, calling something in a game iconic, generally it doesn't mean an item. It means more the mechanic behind that item. Like I've now completely blanked on every example I just had, but...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good example, because whenever I think of iconic, I just think of Ubisoft when they talk about Aiden's iconic hat, the Division iconic jacket.
Assassin's Creed iconic wrist blade.
The Far Cry that's
a good example.
That's the only iconic thing, because the game's been a long running, then that makes sense. But when you release a new IP like The Division or Watch Dogs, you can't call their fucking clothing iconic.
Yeah, it's like the wrist blades in Assassin's Creed is a good example. They're not iconic because people really like the idea of having swords strapped to the wrist. They're iconic because the mechanic of sneaking up behind someone, stabbing them, and then walking away is really cool to play. And that's why that progressed through the rest of the series, because that was a cool mechanic to play with. The actual item itself, they could have done that in any way, and they have changed the wrist blade multiple ways across the series, but the mechanic stays the same, and that's what people want. So I think it would be weird to loop this back to Shadow of the Tomb Raider, it'd be weird if after two games of not having fast-firing pistols that just wrecked everything, you then switched everything up and took away sort of the slightly more methodical combat of the previous two Tomb Raider games. I don't know. I think that's just sort of maybe where they're coming from.
I had a joke and I've forgotten it.
Well done.
It was something to do with iconicness, and I think it was something to do with Pretty Woman, but I can't remember.
What?
I'm trying to remember now.
But for Tomb Raider, it makes sense, because this was a whole kind of redesign of the game, like a whole like fresh thing for people to play. Because it's obviously been made the way it is to compete with what's the game called? Uncharted, that's the one.
My qualm isn't the fact that she doesn't have the dual pistols, it's that they're calling the bow and arrow her signature weapon. Like, that's her calling card. Like, the special pistols that Agent 47 uses in Hitman. And no, she just finds a bow and arrow wherever she's gone and uses that.
Yeah, like, I've only played the first one, and I forgot there was even a bow in it.
As soon as
she finds it up a tree.
Yeah. It's a weird one, because again, like, the Ubisoft radio towers being an iconic mechanic and stuff, but you could have any game around that. But it's like Dante. Dante is iconic because he's got attitude, you know? But it's also subjective, because I guess some people would say that, you know, Lara's iconic because of A, the gun, or B, the axe, or C, because of the adventures, you know, whereas there's probably someone out there who says she's iconic just because she's her, you know. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird way that the guy answered it as well, being like, I don't know about future titles. What? No. You know, but yeah, the pickaxe is the iconic weapon for this season, for this reboot.
I imagine that he doesn't know about future titles because Crystal Dynamics are moving on to something else after this game.
The Marvel game.
What I've heard. Yeah.
They've still got that possibly multiplayer Avengers title coming.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate as well that the company that made Drawn to Death, which recently shut down, they pitched a VR Avengers game without even telling Marvel. They designed the entire thing without even getting permission to do it.
It has worked in the past. Some developers have done
that.
Yeah. It's ballsy, but yeah. Not without its risks.
Well, unfortunately, the company shut down because Drawn to Death didn't do as well as they'd hoped. But fingers crossed that maybe Marvel go, hey, that's kind of cool. But Marvel already have a number of VR experiences. But like, it was kind of a cool concept, because the idea was like one of you would be with the headset on being Iron Man, being like, I am Iron Man. And the one with the controller would be War Machine. And why are you laughing at me?
It's just the best Iron Man thing ever. Yeah, I remember that from there.
I thought Robert Downey Jr. was on the
pod. That scene was iconic.
And with that, we've reached the end of our podcast.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you for joining me, Cal, Kayla, Nikki, and Katty. If you want to find us and tweet to us on Twitter, you can do so at Greencast. You can find Game Grin on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Remember to check our Twitch stream from 8 p.m. BST every single day. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. Why not leave us a comment or a review? And while you're at it, game on.